This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
IGN GameScoop. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Beware, I live.
All right, so the way this goes is, what's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis.
Scoop.
And Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, yeah. I should provide room for applause. Thunderous applause for everybody. We're also joined by 100-ish super fans here in the IGN cafeteria. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming out and help us celebrate the 500th episode.
Thank you for having us, Damon.
Of this real dumb show that I started doing 12 years ago, right after I first started at IGN and moved out here from Chicago.
Did someone tell you to do it?
No, I wanted to do it. But it's something I talked about with like David Adams and our news team at the time.
Did you have to explain the word podcast to anybody?
No, IGN had done one-off podcasts before, but they did not have a regular podcast.
Were they like 4.5 minutes long?
No, they were too long because they tried to put like 10 people on the podcast and they were passing around a stick mic around the room.
Do I remember you didn't host the very, very first one?
I think there's only one episode that I never hosted, and I think it was the very first one. But Matt Jones, who's a super fan right over here from Indiana, one of the longest running GameScoop super fans that I'm aware of, drove around with the license plate that said Scoop for many years.
Amazing.
So maybe he can correct that.
Maybe we should have 10 people on this podcast today.
I think so, too. Well, we are going to have a bunch more people joining us up here on the stage in just a few moments. But first, just want to give a huge shout-out and thanks to the people that are helping us put on this show today. People are staying late to help us do this on a Friday evening. CJ, Mark Medina, Alexio, Dan Parkhurst, all
Thank you very much.
And Andres.
I said Andres.
He helped too.
Oh, Alexio.
Thank you, Andres.
Is Alexio here? I didn't see him. That's why. Yeah. Sorry. I also wanted to put a mystery to bed. There's been some controversy surrounding GameScoop for too long now, and that's why I think now we're finally going to get a chance to put this to rest. And that's because we're joined by a mysterious figure in the room here today, someone that some people out there don't believe is real.
What?
It's true. And that person is Big Tony
Big
Style.
Big Tony Style.
Big Tony Style.
Woo!
here in the flesh. It is not me writing in emails to my own show.
The bard himself, the golden email creator.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We also have to unveil something to sort of help celebrate this momentous occasion. We've used this GameScoop logo for many years now, and we thought it was maybe time for a refresh. Yeah, we're going to unveil...
Is it going to happen live?
We're going to unveil the new logo to you right now. Mark Medina, roll that beautiful bean footage.
What are the odds this goes smoothly?
Oh.
There you go. Yeah. I like it.
Whoever did that just copied the t-shirt.
Yeah, when we saw the t-shirt, we were like, that's really good. Let's do that. All right, now, so this here show has been running for 12 years. We've been talking about video games for 12 years now. And Sam recently has been asking about what we were covering when GameScoop first started. That would have been June 2006. And I've dug up some screenshots of IGN back then.
Nice.
But I thought, since we're going way back, I got the screenshots from the Wayback Machine. So since we're going way back, I thought we would invite as our first guest our own personal Wayback Machine, IGN co-founder Per Schneider.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say the oldest person in the room or something like that.
No, no, no.
Oh, Dust Scoop.
All right. Per, I know you get nervous speaking in front of large audiences, so I got you a kulsh.
Oh, thank
goodness.
To help
calm your nerves. There you go.
That's American.
It is American.
It's okay. It's a kulsh style.
But it's one of the better American kulshes.
Legally, you can only call it kulsh if your brewery has a direct view of the Cathedral of Cologne.
Are we going to get
arrested?
Let
the slide.
Cheers. We can see it from our window in here, so it's fine.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, the earliest day, unfortunately, I wasn't able to find a screenshot of IGN from June 2006, but we have July 7th, 2006, that I think we can pull up here. Of course, this is...
Slayer was here?
Yeah, so we were covering Slayer.
What?
Slayer in the studio, and then pair with this spin Metroid Prime 3.
What
year is that? It just says images.
Yes. Images.
You guys really knew how to write a headline back then.
Metroid Prime 3 is what I assume.
Yeah, because there's Dark Samus in the background.
Ah, okay.
She's about this big.
Yeah. I don't know if that entity is.
Damn.
Entity, but.
Yeah. Look, there's the predecessor to the podcast up in the corner. The round table, that's like a text podcast.
RPG death.
That's right.
There's Call of Duty 3, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought there was something else.
That seems to be
Jack
Black.
Oh, I love this. Don't expect Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh no.
You're right.
Oh, man.
We were right.
I remember that. Turns out the episodes are part 3. That is such a cop-out.
Solved.
Okay, and today is October 5th, 2018. I thought it would be interesting to see what we were covering on some other October 5th way back then. I was able to find October 5th, 2007, and wouldn't you know it, Mark, we're GameScoop episode 52 had just gone out.
1 year before. One episode.
It had been
week,
yeah,
weeks?
yeah, about that. Maybe we missed.
Did you miss some weeks?
Missed a couple
Damon.
Over. Yeah, we missed a couple.
Did you know about this?
That's pretty good.
Look at that nav.
Yeah.
Do you think you have enough choices on the nav?
N-Gage is on there.
Ooh.
Just for this a little was wink of history.
This was the IGN I remember. This is like for me when it these was old, really my formative years.
These old looks at IGN give me. Very warm feelings.
Even I listened to GameScoop back then as a not working here person.
Yeah.
I like that even the bevels have bevels. Did you notice that?
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about sort of the biggest trends that we've covered here at IGN and on GameScoop over the 12 years that this show has been running. And I've gathered a list of things that I think are pretty significant. Mm-hmm. Feel free to chime in. 12 years, 2006 to now, 2018. Per, is there something like in particular that you think is like the biggest sort of sea change in the industry?
The biggest story I think on the if you go back through traffic reports is probably when PSN went down.
No.
Do you remember
really?
That one?
Well, and it was down for like 2 weeks or something, right? Or
yeah,
was it that long?
I kept that story up for 2 weeks.
Are you serious?
So,
that was the biggest story?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. In terms of pure page views, I would believe that.
Biggest really? Single piece, for sure. Because people That's kept on crazy. Going back, going like, is it still down? And
it's okay comments. Now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's got to be like the rise of like console online multiplayer. Like you had really yeah. Xbox Live and things like that taking off, and
yeah.
PSN taking off, Xbox Live Arcade taking off.
Yeah. It was, so you had yes, you had Xbox Live with the original Xbox, mm-hmm. but then it was really the following console generation where that really blew up. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Like the 360 yeah. was so at that time, it yeah. was like every game is going to have a demo, and that online experience and infrastructure was pretty revolutionary at the time.
Yeah, that was like the first console generation where turning on your console, like booting it up, wasn't a lonely experience. Mm-hmm. Like now, all of a sudden, you see all of your friends are online and what they're playing, and you're getting all these ads for stuff you should buy. And
I think 2006 is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't remember if that's the year the Wii came out or if it was out.
It was that winter, the Wii and PS3.
And that was the year, so if you think about it, that's the year Nintendo was like, we're not going to do the console war anymore, we're just yeah. going to go this way. And they yeah. and they've done that ever since. I mean, everything that happened, the DS and then the 3DS and then, of course, the Wii U and the Switch, like they've never gone back to just being like, we're going to make a console and make it like everybody else's. But the GameCube was that.
Yeah.
So and it's really changed since then. They've been keeping the coverage interesting, I think. Nintendo always keeps things interesting.
I think they really surprised us because at that point, the console race was all about trying to pull even with PC and surpass it all the time, right? It was all about yeah. making the most powerful hardware, making sure everything is connected. And then Nintendo basically said, hey, we're going to make the last system again and charge more for it, but create different controllers for it, right?
Remember how offensive it was when people said that at the time? The two GameCubes taped together? Everybody's like, rawr!
They did not like that story, but when we first saw it, we saw the graphics of Wii Sports, and you're expecting like this grand reveal of Link swinging his sword against Ganondorf, and then it's like,
yeah.
And I think a lot of people in games media thought they'd gone crazy.
Yeah.
And then as you got closer to the launch, everybody went, oh, okay, this is going to be big.
It's the yeah. same. I mean, it's the same today, right? Like 4K is the new video game standard, right? But I think the Steam stat is what, like 4% of people are playing on 4K displays. The other 96% aren't. And that's going to continue to change, right? Like particularly this Black Friday and Christmas, people will get TVs. But it takes a long, long time. And Nintendo... Yeah. is one of the only companies to figure out, like, this is where people are now. Like, let's make a device for that, not where they're going to be in 5 years or 10 years.
Hmm. Yeah, this show does predate both the Wii and the PS3, but I do think it's significant that for the lifetime of this show, the three main players in the console industry has yeah. remained unchanged.
Right.
Because yeah. previously, going back, you would see, like, seismic shifts in the big players from generation to generation.
But Apple took a slice of the, and phones in general took a slice of the handheld market. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal. That is another huge thing that has developed over the past decade and changed, right? Like mobile gaming.
And I don't know if it cut into console gaming, but it definitely, mobile gaming.
Yeah, it definitely cut into Nintendo's handheld gaming territory. Yeah,
and sure. then definitely, I mean, the resurgence of the PC market, right?
Yep.
The PC market was slowing down. Yep. People are talking about how the age of mobile games and consoles were here, and then you know, now you go back and you see how many people play PUBG or Fortnite on their PCs or League of Legends. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It came back with a vengeance.
Yeah, remember Angry Birds?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like, I mean, I think that's like the first big mobile game bona fide hit, I think, and it became a worldwide phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real dumb movie.
That was a follow-up.
Yeah.
It was good.
And then sort of what's sort of like closely tied to the rise of mobile gaming is the rise of casual gaming and free-to-play games and games as a service and all that stuff now sort of spilling over into the console space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny to see all this stuff sort of hailed as revolutionary. I got hired at IGN as the mobile games editor before I moved into a more general role. And all this stuff that's in console games now, like real-time timers and things like Assassin's Creed, where like this mission will complete in, you know, 60 minutes real-time, for example. Or appointment gaming, or daily quests, or you know, the free-to-play mechanics. Like that's all stuff that was really, really common in mobile for like a decade.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's taken that long to sort of bleed its way back into sort of more mainstream. Maybe mainstream's not the right word.
Do you remember the detour? We had Facebook gaming for a while too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's
yeah.
saying people are going to be playing games on Facebook forever, and gone.
Yeah, for sure.
Switch.
Those
I got
those comic book movies got better.
comic book movies did get better. And I'm not going to say GameScoop was directly responsible for that, but you know, I'm just saying they got better as GameScoop went along.
It was like the exact it's a 1-to-1 match.
Like Per, it's a pet peeve of yours that people accuse IGN of sort of like, "Oh, you're doing so much, you know, movie coverage now and television coverage now," but it's been how many years that's
like
been a part
19
of
years
since 1999 we've had movies coverage, yeah.
But nerdy movies became the popular movies in that time, and so that's why we all loved them and wanted to cover them.
Oh, you said nerdy. I thought you said dirty movies, and I was
not
like, what?
Nerdy. Geeky movies.
Dirty geeky movies.
Those are still popular.
What, like Porky's?
I think when the show started, you could still just pay money for a game one time and get the whole game.
Oh, remember that? Wasn't that nice?
Yeah, it was really nice.
Well, because remember the first DLC stuff was happening right then, which was the horse armor.
Yeah. That was horse armor.
People flipped out.
Everyone turned around. They were so mad, but now here we are, you know, 12 years later, and they want cosmetic DLC, right? Like, don't give me any DLC that, like, affects the game or lets me power up faster.
Yeah, the same
people only want horse armor
now. And there were the calming voices from us, too, saying, now, don't worry, just because they can patch a game doesn't mean they will patch a game. Now you put a disc in, it's like 950 gigabytes left.
You have to, if you're a parent getting a game for your kid on Christmas, you have to like patch it ahead of time. Otherwise, Christmas is ruined.
That's a really good idea, especially if PSN goes down.
You got to do it.
That's really smart. Take the disc out, put
when,
it
like,
in.
Like, as a parent myself, like, I have this much time to play video games in the evening, and I just accept that, like, the day I get a game, I'm not actually playing it.
You got to get it updating while you're eating dinner.
That's what I do.
I always do that. I pop the disc
That's
in.
That's exactly what I do.
With a disc.
Yeah. Yep. During the watch of the Omega Cops, we witnessed the rise and fall and the attempted and failed resurrection of music games.
Mm-hmm. You think they'll come back again? Boy, are we gonna? Is this it?
I think in some form, maybe in like VR, there's opportunities there. VR is another thing.
That's another one.
But I think that one, even though it hasn't like exploded the way many people thought it would, I don't think it's like a flash in the pan fad. I think it's gonna stick around and.
Yeah.
It's going to be slow gaining adoption, but I think eventually we'll all be there. Anyone here of PSVR, Oculus, or Vive? They're getting there. Yeah.
10%.
It's huge.
I mean, that seems about right.
Okay.
And then what else? Oh, yeah, motion controls. That was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to think. I've been playing a lot of Mario Party, and I was thinking, like, have they gotten better? And, like, the Switch Joy-Cons are good at motion control, and they have less stuff, like, tracking them, which is interesting. But does that make the games more fun? Not really.
I mean, Mario Party, some of the motion minigames are really cool, and they probably wouldn't be as fun without the motion controls, like the ice-shaving stuff and all of that. But, I mean, as a main hook for a game, it just got old so fast that I think everybody just got allergic to it, right?
Yeah. Well, so that's what the Wii was all about with Nintendo. And then Sony and Microsoft totally copied it and had to come up with their own motion controls. And they were like, oh, this is our life now. Remember Wii Music?
Yeah.
No.
Did you like the DJ Hero games?
I loved the DJ Hero games.
I seem to remember reading that when I was a fan.
Those are really good. Yeah. Really impressive how they actually, like, mashed up all those different songs.
That was kind of right at the end of the era, right? Because that was before Rock Band 3 and everything.
Yeah.
Rip.
But it seems like that obsession with adding hardware is kind of over, right? I mean,
adding hardware,
some people may collect like Joy-Con
except that now consoles are iterative.
Yeah.
And you got to buy a new console of the same, not a new console, just a new PlayStation 4 every couple of years.
We also have Nintendo kind of splitting the difference with Labo a little bit, like giving you some weird one-off experiences without having to buy, you know, a $100 balance board or something like that.
Yep. Yeah, Labo didn't take off the way we thought it would, but that's a great example of, you know, adding stuff. I think this is the right time to do that because nobody's buying these accessories. And
yeah, exactly. They did make another one, so, you know, they wouldn't have done that if it was a total flop, but it also wasn't like a runaway.
Mm-hmm. And then Toys for Life appeared and disappeared
Toys
to Life,
But Amiibo's still around.
Living Toys.
This is New Skylanders, right? Is that gone?
It's gone.
There's Starlink, The Battle for Atlas.
Starlink this month.
This month.
But that's about it.
You have like 3,000 Amiibo.
Yeah, they're good.
And I think finally, the rise of indie gaming. When IGN started, there wasn't even an indie game scene, really. And it was sort of Xbox Live Arcade.
Did you guys not use that term back then, too?
I don't think we were talking about indie gaming back in 2005, 2006.
I feel like, obviously, indie games have been around a long time, but that as a label was like Indie Game the Movie, right? Like, really popularized that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's the gates have come down, the barriers to entry have come down. Now it's very possible for just about anyone to make a game and get it onto services. And that's why last year there were over 7,600 games released just on Steam alone.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more games. We used to review every game that came out. Mm. Right?
Even like Dora the Explorer.
We reviewed everything because we could.
Yeah.
We wanted, you know, I think as you used to say, we wanted, if someone out there was searching for a review of this Dora the Explorer game, we wanted them to find the IGN review.
But
now we couldn't even do that if we wanted to.
You know, the funny side effect with that is that the kind of the review scores have gone up because a lot of publications will skip the bad games in favor of, you know, focusing on
the
good stuff. So we used to publish a lot more ones and twos and threes as reviews.
Yeah, as like a critic, I actually miss writing reviews of turkeys. It's really fun to write negative reviews. And, you know, our reviewer didn't like Venom, and we gave Venom a 4-something, and she wrote a great review, and it was really fun to write, I'm sure, because it was really fun to read. And that started getting me thinking, like, we don't just have that opportunity very much because we try to review games that we think people are going to make a decision about.
Yeah, and like we don't get that opportunity very often because there's so much at stake now with games. They're so expensive to make. There's just a lot of layers in place in the AAA gaming industry to prevent that from happening, right? To prevent releasing a 4.
Also, THQ went away for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that.
Rude.
I think like there's just not that many bad games, right? Like let me give you an example. I didn't like Assassin's Creed Origins that much. Like I was just thought it was a little bland. I was a little bored. But like there's no denying that like the level of polish and care and attention to detail that went in that game, like the floor for how bad like a big AAA game can be is like so much higher than it was when I started paying attention to games. Like it was a gamble, man. Like you used to buy games sometimes and they could just be horrible and it would like, you know, ruin
Donkey
your
Kong
Christmas
64.
Ruin your birthday money. But now it's like you're guaranteed at least a certain level of polish and fun, even if it's not a game that's like, you know, exactly what you were looking for.
Yeah. All right, what do you think is the best-selling game of the past 12 years? And we're talking units sold, not dollars, because we all know that GTA 5 is like the most profitable entertainment thing ever. What do you think has sold the most copies?
Minecraft. Wii Sports.
It is Minecraft.
Oh, Minecraft, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
But it's funny you mentioned Wii Sports. Of the top 10, Nintendo does have 6 of the best-selling games of the top 10.
Are they all on Wii? No, I guess there's some DS ones in there.
No, I think they're all on Wii.
Yeah, it's like Mario.
So it's Minecraft, then GTA 5. They're still up there in units sold. I'm going the wrong way. Then Wii Sports. Of course, it was a pack-in with the Wii, but still. Mm-hmm. Then PUBG.
Wow.
That's how many copies PUBG has sold.
Congrats.
And Fortnite is on here because it's not on here because it's Fortnite's free to play.
Yeah.
Mario Kart Wii.
Yeah, I remember.
Very high. It never stopped.
Then Wii Sports Resort. New Super Mario Brothers. There's your DS game. Yeah. And then new Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Yeah, wow.
And then Skyrim, and then Wii Play. That's the top 10.
Oh, Wii Play, it should not be there.
It's easily the worst game on the list. Wow.
It was packaged with a controller. That's how they sold it. Yep. Remember that?
Yeah, you got
it for free with a Wiimote.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Per. Over the past 12 years, what's been your favorite game that you've played?
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Easy.
I mean, it's pretty... pretty good video game.
Wait, yeah,
they
second.
Just had that?
That's it. Gross. No, but when if you look back, there are obviously so many great games.
Yeah.
You know, your GTAs and Red Deads and Last of Us and it's hard to pick one game. But this one, because I'm a lifelong Zelda fan and you know absolutely adore Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time. But this game just kind of turned everything I knew about Zelda on its head,
yeah.
And so it felt very very fresh and different to me.
That is an acceptable choice.
Mm-hmm. It's not. It's perfect.
Per, thank you so much for joining us up here
today.
And thank you for continuing to steer the ship here at IGN after all these years.
Thank you. Thank you.
Prost. Our next guest needs no introduction, but I'm going to introduce him anyway. Please welcome Brian Altano to the stage.
Hi, Brian.
So I'm supposed to go behind the stage, in front of the stage. Brah, brah. Hi, everyone.
There are no rules.
Ooh, it feels good to be up here.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, it is 500th birthday. Brian, would you like a beer? We have beer.
Sure, let's do it.
You want an IPA or a Kölsch?
Whatever's closest to your arms.
Okay.
Do you have a Mother Brain on your shirt?
What are these for?
Don't spoil it.
Oh, you have like construction
you guys,
equipment
just
back
don't
here.
Don't worry about that.
It's expensive
don't
sound
worry about
equipment.
It's fine. Okay, Brian.
Dude, that shirt's awesome.
Thank you.
That shirt is really good.
Yeah, it's made by a company called The Yeti, and they sell it for like a day so they don't get sued. And then it's gone. So people are always like, where'd you get your shirt? And I'm like, you missed it.
Doesn't matter. Here, bud.
Thank you.
All right, let's. We're going to talk about some notable games that are celebrating anniversaries this year, along with GameScoop. And this is not an exhaustive list of video game anniversaries. It is filtered through the lens of what I think is interesting and cool.
Well, it is your show,
which
it
is why we're all here.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, are you going to the fives and tens?
We're not. Let's get the fives. We'll start with tens. Okay. We'll start with games turning 10 this year.
Okay. 2008.
So that would be 2008. So that would mean games like Wii Fit.
Oh. I played the hell out of that game.
Does anyone still have their Wii Fit balance board?
Yeah, it's under my couch.
What? You guys know you can throw those out, right?
Has anyone used it anytime recently? Jared Petty is
you frantically. Use it recently.
Jared and my mom still uses hers every day.
Together?
Yeah.
It was right there. I just had a hi guys.
Also turning 10 this year is Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People like that one?
That's this
one they
this game is better than the other one because the other one made me feel fat.
GTA 4. Mm-hmm. It's a 2008 game.
I feel like that one's not as fondly remembered as San Andreas for sure. And then
well, now that there's GTA 5, it's just like such a colossus. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a bigger number.
What do you guys think about GTA 4?
Yeah? Okay. See, there's some fondness.
Yeah, there's a little
bit. I was thinking of being Nico Bellic for Halloween, by the way.
You totally could.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people would get it.
They would just be like, that guy looks bad today.
But what do you
like, you look worse than usual.
You just put on a tracksuit?
Like, yeah, just I'd come to work in a tracksuit, and I'd grow my beard out a little more, and people would be like, are you okay?
Anyone remember Spore?
Yeah.
Yes, the penis simulator.
Yeah. I like Spore. I'm a little bit of a Spore apologist. Actually.
Spore is 10 years old, and I guess that means the Spore creature creator? Mm-hmm. Is that what they called it?
You could call them that.
Was it
Spore ended up pretty fun. I don't think it was that bad. I think it just overpromised. It's like one of those games where the developer went out and said for years, this is going to be this game about creating the universe.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the greatest thing you've ever played. And then it was just a bunch of
minigames. You're just trading spice at the end, and you're like...
Metal Gear Solid 4.
That's a good one.
10 years old. I haven't played that one. Would you recommend me play that game today?
Because you love
Having loved 5. Yeah. People still would. Okay.
Really? Yeah, I don't know if you can go from 5 to 4.
It's Metal Gear Solid. Who cares? All right.
Well, I think the thing about 4 is that it's a linear game, but it has the same type of ideas. You just infiltrate, and it's like 5 with 14 levels you play. It's great.
But doesn't it have hour-long cutscenes?
Just play 5 again. I heard that one. Yeah, I could play 5 again.
Good call.
It has crazy, crazy amounts of cutscenes.
Did you play it?
Oh, I love 4. Yeah.
Where is that scene? I haven't played it. The only thing I know about it is that scene where he crawls through the microwave tunnel. Is that as intense as it looks in the
I can't remember that. I remember a guy's... Yeah.
Okay. Spoilers, dude. You just told everyone to play it, and now you're spoiling the end of the game.
Fallout 3. It's 10 years old now. It's a really good one. I still remember...
That was probably the best game out that year, but I don't think we gave it our Game of the Year award.
Oh, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. I do still remember when Pete Hines brought Fallout 3 to the old IGN office for the first time, and I'd never played a Fallout game before, and he started from the beginning of the game where he went to the town, met all the people, and then left and nuked the town. I was like, this is amazing.
Because there was that town that was a crater, right?
Yeah,
you could
it's called
choose
Megaton.
Destroy it, or yeah. And I remember you guys writing about that. That was really.
I love that game because you could just play it incorrectly and do okay for a while. Like you could just get addicted to drugs and sell spoons, and then a guy dies in front of you, and you take his level 99 gun, and you're like, I'm a god.
And then speaking of the rise of indie games, World of Goo.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 years
old.
Yeah, that game was a. Kind of
fantastic.
A special. It was like a Wii exclusive. At
yeah,
first,
it was.
Right?
It hit the
for
Wii
a long time.
First for sure, and it used the Wii remote, and it worked.
Yeah,
it could have
first.
Just been a mouse, but it used the Wii remote.
Why?
Who knows?
All right, 20 years. We're gonna start feeling old now, everybody. If we, yeah. these are the games that will make us feel old. 20 years old is Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The first one.
Year.
And I feel like there's some games
on this
list. Is
this the best year in games?
That would be 1998. We were talking about that earlier. 98.
98's up there.
98.
It's up there, right?
2007.
And 87.
2001 and then 87. These are all really strong years. But yeah. So 20 years ago, we're talking about 1998, Metal Gear Solid. Ocarina of Time, of course.
Yeah, amazing.
Wow.
Isn't it weird that Nintendo, they haven't announced any sort of like 20th anniversary edition?
That is weird. Yeah.
They're not great at birthdays. That's they true. Did like the year, they'll do like
year
the
year of Luigi.
They have the year of Luigi where they lost a bunch of money and they're like, we can't do that again.
Yeah, that's true. Banjo-Kazooie is also 20 years old. That's a really good one. Spyro, which I guess someone at Activision did carefully plan that one out because we've got the
there's the anniversary. That's
the anniversary of that coming out. Resident Evil 2, it's 98.
You love that one, right?
Oh yeah, I love Resident Evil 2. Yeah. Capcom almost got that remake ready for this year.
Yeah, they just
barely gonna
it.
Miss it. That's Dude, out in January.
I played that at E3. It is very spooky.
Yeah.
As someone that doesn't play spooky games, I'm like, I can't. I got like halfway through that demo, and they're like, you still have time left. I'm like, I'm good. All right.
They had people dressed like zombies shaking you while you played.
Yeah, though. Well, and this That's is at E3, they had this experience where to like get to the area where you play the game, they give you a flashlight and then open a door and then you walk in a dark place. And I'm like, great, this is already wonderful. And it's this little winding hallway, like you go through this little S-curve and you're shining your flashlight. And I know that a zombie is going to pop out, right? And even knowing that happened, I'm still like, bah! And then, of course, they give you a picture of you looking like a complete doof with like the zombie in your face after.
Oh, that's great. Did you bring it home?
No. What?
I think you should put it in your living room. Like,
I think
frame
they
it.
Keep those. They're all in like a file now. And the next time they...
You have two kids now. It'd be so cool to have them grow up with a picture of their father just terrified. That's daddy. He peed in his pants at work.
Yeah, I already have a hard enough time explaining what I do.
But you're saying on days that we record Game Scoop, it's easier to explain.
Yeah, my daughter's 4, and it's really cute because I always ask, I'm like, how was school? And then she asks me, like, how was work? And, like, I can't. I'm like, I don't have any way to contextualize, like, what any of this means. But on the day we do Game Scoop, I'm like, oh, we make a fun show where we tell people what video games are good. And she's like, got it. Can I have some ice cream?
Final Fantasy Tactics, 20 years old.
Wow.
It's a good one.
It's been 20 years.
What a year.
Yeah.
And then this one's very close to near and dear to my heart. Einhander is also 20 years old. No, that's a Jared Petty.
Was 98?
So that one's for Jared.
That wasn't Bioshock, was it?
Not Bioshock, okay. Nope.
That was in like 2000.
Oh, that would have been.
That's a 2007, yeah.
Oh, is that why? Because we were talking about other anniversaries before he came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind. 10 years off.
All right, now we're getting to the really good stuff. The game's turning 30 years old this year. Ooh. Games like Altered Beast.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's That's always not been a great bad. Game. It's a bad game. It's always been bad.
Wise for
No, it talks. That's cute, but
he's like, I'm a wolf now. You're like, all right, but you're not great. Like, it's not a good game. It's okay. It's just not good.
It was cool at the time.
I'm going to get, like, there's going to be 5 years of YouTube comments being IGN says Altered Beast was never good.
Sam, I'm putting you on the spot. What's the first pinball table that talks?
Oh, Gorgar.
I think it's Gorgar.
Gorgar. Wow. Yeah.
That's a good name.
Gorgar.
It says, I will win.
And it strings together. It can say, like, 10 words and string them together into a few.
Yeah, so sentences. It can be, like, win, you won't.
Yeah.
Like, it does it all wrong.
Yeah. It's great.
So just conserve that you.
Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah,
which is 30 years old now.
The follow-up to Ghosts and Goblins, but we probably didn't play that till Super Ghouls and Ghosts on Super
Nintendo. Yeah,
years.
I don't think I've ever played the non-Super arcade game. Version.
Yeah, that's true. Although I do think it's better than Ghosts and Goblins. Double Dragon 2.
Yeah.
Damn.
30 years old. Brian and I played through that game in its entirety.
You did?
A couple years
like
ago.
Like a year ago, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that was
came
great.
To PlayStation 4.
Who was Bimmy and who was Jimmy?
I don't remember now. But Bionic Commando is 30 years old.
A perfect game.
I know. As people realize, yeah.
I was thinking that maybe that the year that Game Scoop was recording might have been the first Summer of Arcade. Because the next one was the great Bionic Commando Rearm. It would
have been one or two years after.
So good.
Yeah, and that summer was amazing.
Yeah, that's true. Super Mario Brothers 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's 30 years old. Yeah.
But
I love that game.
Also 3.
Also 3. Because Super Mario Bros. 3 came out in Japan in 88, and Super Mario Bros. 2 is not a real Mario game and came out here that year, and then came out in Japan later.
They must have been laughing at us.
Yeah, I know.
They were like, we can fly. And we're like, well, you can throw a turnip.
Yeah. But it was the 80s, and you could do whatever you wanted.
It's insane. Like, there were like five Final Fantasies ahead of us. Yeah. Mega Man was human in Japan.
They're like, what are we going to do? We didn't release the last two Final Fantasies here. And they're like, it's fine. Just do whatever you want.
What's weird is they waited 2 years to get it out here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
2 years. And in that time, they actually improved the Nintendo cartridge so it could actually hold the game.
Mario 2 is too hard. We can't release it in America. Here's what we do. Let's take a completely different game. We'll just call it Mario 2. The Americans won't know the difference.
Yeah.
Man.
But what if they start asking questions? The whole thing is a lie. It's a dream.
Video games, we've said it on Scoop before, when we were growing up in the 80s, Japan was just a magical land where video games just came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd read these magazines, these little tiny pictures, they just looked amazing.
Well, that was like the Nintendo 64, I found out about it in Nintendo Power. Yeah. There was just like a paragraph at the end of one issue. They're like, hey, how's your Super Nintendo? Is that fun? You having some fun over there, little boy? That's cool. Guess what? In Japan, they have the Ultra 64. It's amazing. Bye. See you in a month.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I called my dad, and I'm like, please. Break me to Japan right now. And he's like, no. And why did you call me?
There was such a demand for Mario 3 that over the years in collecting NES games, I found bootleg Super Mario 3s that work in NESs from the lead up. So like, think about like the steps you'd have to take to bootleg an NES card at that time.
What were those
steps? It's a big investment. Well, it was like actually, you know, figuring out how to bypass the security chip and printing the cartridges.
Because I remember on the N64, it was you had to cut a notch out of the side of the cartridge.
Oh, yeah. If you just put a Japanese game in your system.
Mm-hmm.
And this was adjusted to just work right in NES. You just buy it.
Yeah.
I'll bring some in. They're really neat. They have different art and stuff.
Yeah, on Nintendo 64, you just had to be a child with a power saw.
Along with Super Mario Bros. 2, there was also Zelda 2. Mm-hmm. Came out the same year.
Which I love as well. I'll fight you.
I'm into it now. It's Jared's
I also
Zelda
love
game.
Zelda 2.
Is that Jared Petty's favorite Zelda game?
Yep.
Zelda 2?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Just making sure.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
And Mega Man 2.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the best one, right?
No, it's 3 is. It's
people go back and forth. I think when you
9
play...
9 is really good.
I mean, 9 is really good. But when you play 3 and you get the slide, it's hard to go back to 2 without
that's
the slide.
That's true.
Yeah.
Has anybody played Mega Man 11?
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, you down with it? Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I thought it was good, too.
Yeah. And then...
10.5.
This is pretty interesting. 30 years ago... EA released the first Madden.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
They've been releasing Madden. It came out on the Apple II.
Was it just called Madden?
It was like Madden NFL football, yeah.
It didn't have the year in it?
John Madden back then. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they would put the year.
They didn't put the year.
It's funny to think of it having stiff competition from Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah. Madden 1.
Yeah.
That's true.
Apple II.
All right, and then for 40 years, games turning 40 years old.
What? Really?
There's two that I want to single out. Sam, hold your tongue.
Okay.
Because Sam thought of a different one. Oh. Probably the most significant one is, do you have a guess, Justin?
Is it
Gorgar.
78. It's a really good year.
It's Space Invaders. Space Invaders is 77.
So you got Space Invaders.
Oh, is it Space Invaders 78? And then,
it's Space Invaders.
And then I was going to say maybe Centipede, but I think that's later.
80.
Yeah.
Space Invaders is 40, but then maybe perhaps more importantly...
Fire truck.
So
what's crazy about this year is that whenever you see this, Space Invaders is a black and white game, and you're actually seeing in the arcade when you play it, it has a piece of plastic over the black and white screen to make this lower part green. Like, how cool is that? So games were still black and white in 1978.
That's wild.
And the game that I was just talking about and another game that's great called Video Pinball, all from Atari, were like really creative games. They're just like, what are we going to do? Yeah. Pong's not popular anymore.
Yeah.
And they had to figure out what to do before Taito did this. And then everybody just copied that. But we played a game called Fire Truck at California Extreme, this cool convention. And it's two people sit in a tiny fire truck, and the front person has a wheel and the back person has a wheel, and you have to do the fire truck thing. It's top down. You control the back end and the front end separately, and it's really fun.
Do you put out fires? Or you just drive
the
truck?
Get to the
if
fire,
you make it to the fire.
I don't think you can make it to the fire.
I don't know that we have
to make it. You only do the getting to the fire part, not the putting out the fire part? The
it's like that section of the Ghostbusters
They didn't
game.
Think that far.
And it also has a horn button that does nothing.
Well,
I want to point out that was 1978, 40 years ago, and you had destructible cover in the game. Destructible environments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
destructible environments. Maybe the first...
Surely, yeah.
Yeah, first appearance of them. There you have it. Notable... games having anniversaries this year as filtered through my personal interests.
I couldn't find any 68 games.
What's that?
I couldn't find any 68 games.
And yeah, I didn't know when Space War was actually
62.
It's not it's not like Dungeons and Dragons, is it?
Oh, that'd be cool.
I don't think, I think 68? It's... 67. I was going to say.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think it's
God damn it. Tara Petty.
Keep it down, Grandpa.
Brian, before we say goodbye to you, what have you been playing recently?
Oh, man. We just played a game a few minutes ago at the IGN office called Tricky Towers.
Game of the
really
day.
Fun.
Game of the day.
Game of the day.
Yeah, game of the day. Go play it next week on Switch or 4 years ago on your PS4.
What's the 8-bit game you were talking about at MVC?
Pear, what's the name of that game?
Every game.
Every game on Switch.
A little 8-bit one where it's like a Metroidvania, but it's like 8-bit style. All right, well.
No, we joked about doing like a top 25 platformers on Switch, so we'll probably put that together. Yeah. But yeah, and then tonight I'll play some Mario Party.
Yeah, it's Mario Party weekend. Opening weekend for Mario Party. Yeah.
I haven't argued with my wife in a while, so.
Seriously.
Awesome. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Cheers to 500,
Brian
guys.
Brian Altano.
Thank you.
Next, I would like to invite up here editorial manager Tina Amini to the stage.
Hey, Tina.
Tina, would you like
Hello.
A beer?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's time to, you know, we're in the fourth quarter of the year. We're in the witching hour of 2018 now. So that means, that can only mean one thing, Justin. It's time to check in with Game of the Year Watch.
I didn't know they were going to do
Mark.
That.
Mark. Oh, okay, right. Forget it. It's too late now. Just forget it. It's fine. Let's get right to it. Is God of War still the game of the year so far?
Yeah.
It's one of two games that we've given a 10 out of 10 so far.
God of War and Celeste.
Yes.
And Celeste as well, yeah. So God of War did not receive as much of an applause as I expected. Mm. Is that because everyone loves Spider-Man now?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, what a turnaround. That's
or
awesome.
Is it that everyone's waiting for Red Dead to make a real assessment?
Yeah.
And Octopath won us all over. Nobody
Octopath.
Clapped.
I liked Octopath. in your eyes, minds, what's like the front runner as of right now?
For me, it's still God of War.
Yeah, you're
It was amazing. Like, you see GIFs of moments of that game that look, you know, scripted and, like, they're cutscenes, but that's just how the game is. It's that gorgeous, and the combat's that amazing and dynamic. Like, everything about that game feels so thought out, and the way that every ability that you have works in combat or out of combat. It has multiple sort of interesting contextual uses. I thought the storytelling was really good. I love everything about that game, and it might be one of my games of the generation. Not might be, it totally is.
Yeah, I think it's definitely up there for me. I think this is still my favorite game of the year that I played so far. Were you going to say something?
No.
Okay.
Well, I think God of War is a dad game, and I think you can relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I actually did think the dad parts of it were a little bit. I mean, Kratos is a bad dad. Like,
he's not a bad dad. He's a strict dad.
He's bad.
He's trying to raise him to be prepared for the real world, Justin.
the real world.
As they know it, as gods, yeah.
Sure. That part of it actually didn't resonate with me so much as a father.
I don't know. Tina, what do you think? What's your?
It's an excellent game. I think what I would highlight from God of War as being this like prestige title that came out this year is the storytelling, is the character dynamics and how they built that together. I mean, it's a gorgeous game too. So that for me is the primary reason why it would be the highlight of 2018. But I'm really waiting for Red Dead. I've seen 4 hours of the game, and it is. You know, you believe things about Rockstar because they're so prestigious and you've seen like their quality work in the past. But I was like, yeah, guys, like this whole Rockstar World thing. And then I saw 4 hours of it and I genuinely was like, no, this Rockstar World thing. So I really want to wait until that comes out before I make, God of War versus Red Dead kind of statement. But I'm going to guess for me personally, it's going to be Red Dead too.
And you lean towards story experiences, right? Like Breath of the Wild wouldn't like engross you as much as it did us because it didn't have the story stuff. And
for
this
sure.
looks like Red Dead is the perfect combo, right?
Yeah, it's got those story elements and it kind of puts the onus on you to create the story through the world and the kind of decisions that you make. I just like how robust it seems, like the variety of things that you can do. Like you can, one of my favorite little details that we wrote about is that you can take an animal carcass and turn it into a hat. Yeah. She's like, why not?
Cool.
How long does that take?
Well, you hunt the animal, so that's probably the longest thing, and then you can skin it.
A little bit.
And then I think you take it to a store where they can turn it into a hat, too.
See, that's I worry about that a little bit in Rockstar Games, where you just have to like do a bunch of chores, and they're not the fun ones.
You got it. You had to do your chores.
You don't have to hunt.
The hunting part's, well, that sounds like the fun part.
I mean, like, everything I hear about Red Dead 2 just sounds impossible, and I would never believe that anyone would be able to pull it off, except for, like, Rockstar is the one company on Earth that I kind of maybe give the benefit of the doubt, that I'm like, okay, this sounds like, like, oh, there's the path. You'll see, like, a dad and his sons build a house, and it'll get more and more built as the game progresses. I'm like, what? Like, that? Like, how can they go to that level of detail? But Rockstar is the company that, you know, they
would pull it off.
Yeah, they would pull it off.
Sam, I know you're really enjoying Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I'm totally. I think that's my game of the year right now. Hmm. That's the game I've
game
had the most fun with. It's definitely my game of the week. And what really pulled me in is that it's an it has exploration in it, which you guys probably hear me talk about all the time. And it's a really cool place to explore. It's a bunch of islands and like really, really pretty beaches, which just makes me want to go to a beach. And you don't have to play the game. You can just like go to the question marks. You know, just see what they are. And I always like that about Fallout and Skyrim and just, like, the ability to just, like, say, like, that's a cool thing. I just want to go look at it. And it awards you for that. You get XP and you get to advance that way, but you don't have to do the other stuff. Yeah. I think that's really cool.
I'm really loving Odyssey, too. I like it way more than I expected to. Mm. I give every Assassin's Creed game a shot, and then I've been pretty disappointed with most of them, except for Black Flag. That was the last one that I really, really loved. And then Odyssey, like, I can't put it down. I'm playing it every night. I'm really engrossed in the story and the mystery of the story. I think it's a lot better RPG than Origins was. I feel like I have more control over how I build my character and more interesting choices to make. It's absolutely on my Game of the Year.
You know,
I really like Cassandra, too.
I hope Rockstar is as good, and I know they'll probably be as good or better, as Ubisoft is building an open world right now, because it does so much with it. Like, you can always just pull out and be a bird, you know, like in a second. There's never loading. It's incredible, that alone. And or just if you just meditate and change the time, it just pans up to the sky and the sun goes up and down like this and everything changes in real time. Like, that world is just loaded up and ready to go. It's also unbelievable.
If you haven't done this, you can press a button and your horse will like go to the waypoint you've set, and then you can just be a bird and fly around while you're still like,
I didn't know you could bird it up while on the horse.
In Red Dead, you can press and hold X, and it'll just go about the normal path when you're on the horse, and then go into cinematic view, and you can change all the angles.
And those cinematic views are incredible.
They're gorgeous, yeah. And this is at any point of time. You can do it in the middle of combat, too, which is really impressive.
That's a good idea, too.
I'm also playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey right now, really enjoying it. I think a lot of people are really surprised at the quality of that game. I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's part of the conversation for Game of the Year nominees in a couple months.
It's often been, sorry.
No, sure.
It's Assassin's Creed. We typically have 10 Game of the Year nominees at IGN, and I feel like several years in a row, Assassin's Creed's been like 11, right? Like it just didn't quite eke in there. I'm quite a bit more confident it will this year. But
yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I know Sam and I just played through Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. Anyone else played that one?
A little bit at Gamescom.
Yeah.
There you go. We've got some players out there. I liked that one a lot. It's not quite on the same level as some of these other games we're talking about for me, but I'd
recommend it to basically anyone too. Like it's a good game to play. It feels good the whole time, but I don't think it's as good as the first Tomb Raider, but I think it's better than the second one.
Yeah.
I think it's also like padded by other big games and got ignored in the shuffle.
Yeah, that's true. And then what about, I know it came out very early in the year, but what about Monster Hunter World? you realize that is Capcom's best-selling game of all time.
so weird.
Good for them.
It's crazy.
But I took issue with that in an earlier show. I won't go back into it. Listen to episode 437. No.
It's definitely going to be on people's personal top 10 lists.
Yeah. We have office mates that love it.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal, right? Like, it took this portion of the office by storm, and that always means those people will vigorously fight for it.
And it was great to come out in January, too, without much other competition.
Yeah, very smart. It's pretty quirky. You know, I respect the game. I've said on Scoop before that I don't really like games that do the same thing that every other game is doing, right? Like, blaze your own path and present us, like, a different version of, like, a third-person action-adventure game. And I respect it for that, but I couldn't quite get my arms around it and find the loop that was enjoyable for me personally.
Yeah, I get you.
We didn't talk about Spider-Man, though. I don't know if you're getting to
it. Yeah, I wanted to bring that up, too. Yeah. I think it seems like that's the game that, like, everyone out there is crazy about.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and we like it a lot, too. But it didn't get as high a score as some of these other games we're talking about. Yeah.
it still was very great, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's great.
The 8.8 on our scale is great. Like, that's a really, really great game, and that's where my head is at on it.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. I had a hard time putting it down. Mm-hmm. Every moment that I was playing with it, I had fun. But then when the game was over and I was finished, like, now it's in my rearview mirror. It's not a game that I'm, like, thinking about or that stuck with me in the way that God of War did, for example.
Are we going to see those block people? Is that the footage you pulled, Martin? You should have pulled the block people.
I think that's a really good point, Justin. Like, it doesn't really have a lasting impact. I mean, I'm only halfway through, so I can only speak to half of the game. But it does. It feels really good to play, and it feels comfortable in a weird way because I'm able to, like, take a week off and then jump back in, and it's not the video gamey thing of, like, wait, what are all the controls?
Yeah.
I feel like it just, like, naturally flows, and it's entertaining too.
Mm-hmm. It's the moment-to-moment gameplay. And I also have to keep reminding myself that, like, we've had really bad Spider-Man games before. So it's like, it wasn't like a sure thing that, like, oh, of course the traversal is going to feel good and the combat's going to be really satisfying. Mm-hmm. Like, they could have gotten it really wrong.
So you're saying our standards are just too low.
I mean, like, I talked about this on Scoop a couple weeks ago, but, like, on the AAA, like, best of the best game scale, like, Spider-Man for me might be right down here. But when compared to every other game on Earth, like, it's still one of the best of the year, for sure.
Sam, you finished it.
Yeah, I love it. I really, I'm trying to think now, will I like it as much as the Batman Arkham games? And what's the best, like, you know, superhero game ever? And yeah, I just have to think of it in a different class. I think, like, the Arkham games are really about, you know, solving puzzles and finding stuff. And I really wish that was in Spider-Man, but Spider-Man's not that type of character. So it's kind of a good combat game and a good, like, beat 'em up and a good just, like as you're saying, just feels good to swing around. And I like all that. I think that's really neat. I just have to kind of reset. Like, I don't play a lot of games like that, you know?
Well, for the Batman games, too, it kind of helped that Rocksteady, like, set a tone for it. And it was kind of groundbreaking at the time. And so now we're a little bit more like, eh, we've played that before. It's not as impressive on this third time around.
One thing that I loved and really appreciated about Spider-Man was its storytelling, and in some ways it's a very conventional sort of standard comic book Spider-Man story, but it takes risks with characters like Mary Jane that I think are actually really smart and natural. Like, usually in the comics, you know, she's a model or an actress, but I think making her a reporter was smart and clever. And
making her playable, too.
Yeah, and, like, even some of the stuff, like, you know, Octavius in the game has an interesting arc, and Aunt May, you know, just the things that they did with those characters I thought was, you know, smart. They're, like, familiar, but also put a new spin on them that doesn't feel artificial. I actually really like the story a lot.
Mm. There's been some people writing really interesting pieces about how Spider-Man seems naive in right now, and I think I liked that about Spider-Man, that Spider-Man can still solve a bunch of problems, and then also it kind of tackles one big problem where it's just like this theme of homelessness, and a lot of it takes place in a homeless shelter. I was like, oh, that's actually really touching and interesting, and I just thought that was, it was brave. It was really cool to play that.
I mean, Insomniac and their marketing really played up he's not a brand new Spider-Man. He's been Spider-Man for a long time. That was their message from the beginning, but it's this really interesting time in that character in Peter Parker's life because he's not, like, a veteran yet. Like, they're like, oh, he's been Spider-Man for, I think it's 8 years or 10 years. But that still means he's only, like, 25 or 26, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's still really young but old enough that he has a history. And I think they really walked that line perfectly, Insomniac did.
We just had sort of our first discussions here at our weekly postmorts about our end of year best of content. So we're definitely going to be ramping that up over the next coming weeks. Still some big games to go. Of course, Red Dead Redemption 2. Fallout 76 is in November. Of course, Smash Brothers is in December.
Yeah. Pokemon might be really good.
Pokemon is coming out in November.
Still Call of Duty.
It's Call of Duty as
Battlefield.
Well. And Battlefield as well, yeah. So still some really big games.
Missing something.
What's that?
We're missing something really big.
Well, we're not naming every single game.
This is something I was really looking forward to.
That's coming out. But I did want to point out that I think our God of War review written by Jonathan Dornbush is our most read article of the year. Mm. So we'll see what happens when Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out. See if that can overtake that. I don't know. Anyway, as always, the Game of the Year Watch discussion continues. Tina, thank you so much for joining us
up here
today.
Thanks, guys.
Tina Amini, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Fran Mirabella III.
Hi, Fran.
Hello, everybody.
All What's up, Fran? What's going on in Destiny?
I know. Everybody knows me as the Destiny guy now. We do Fireteam Chat every Friday at 5 p.m. if you want to check it out.
Yeah. Would you like a beer?
I have half a beer, but I'll also take another beer.
I was going to ask, is that dark beer or is that coffee?
I stole a nut brown ale out of the fridge. So.
Was there a name on it?
Kolsch.
Kolsch. Do you want Kolsch?
Yeah. Is this making the full cut of the episode?
Do you want the last
Kolsch is one of my favorite beers.
No, thank you.
Pernos.
He's worried that we're not going to cut this out.
I am.
Fran's a video editor at heart.
Yes, exactly. I'm a video guy. Frame by frame. So I think I kind of know why I'm here.
Well, yeah. You're here because...
I brought a pen.
Game of the Year watch is cute and all, but it's kind of small potatoes, you know. Here we're celebrating the life of this 12-year-old show, so I thought it would be a little bit more significant to look at Game of the Career watch.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Came prepared.
Everybody's so impressed.
Just crickets.
That looks like that's only games from we just
from what now? Oh, what?
Yeah, well, they pick art they from mold. 1 year. Yeah. No, just
except for GLaDOS.
Yeah. So like my career goes back 12 years, but Fran is going back, what, 18 years?
Yeah, since 2000. I was freelancing for IGN at the beginning of 2000 and going to college at the time in 99. Yeah.
You could have just called this Game of the Century.
I like it. I bring up like stone tablets.
But Game of the Career rhymes with game. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah, see, I get it, Damon.
All right.
So everyone,
I see where you
lock the doors. No one can leave until we determine what is the best game to come out over the past 18 years.
No problem.
So 2000.
No bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
And Majora's Mask makes that cut because it's 2000.
Sure
right?
Does. 2000 to 2017, right? That's what we're looking at right now.
Or yeah, except IGN started giving out Game of the Year in 2001. Yeah.
Right.
So I have a list of every IGN Game of the Year. Shall I recite it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Just to remind you. 2001 was Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. Solid. 2002 was Battlefield 1942.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys won't applaud if you heard the things that didn't win all these years.
That was contentious for Pair.
Yeah, it was
and me.
2000.
Because Metroid Prime was that year.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we're going to get into that, right? These choices are all fun and games until you realize what else was out those years.
Fran's got spreadsheets printed out. Some like serial killer notes over there.
I cut every word out of a magazine.
Yeah.
2003 was Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Fair.
2004 was, anybody? Half-Life 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
2005 was God of War. The original. 2006 was Okami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a controversial year as well.
Controversial. Same year as Twilight Princess, of course. Hmm. 2007 was Super Mario Galaxy.
Yes.
Yeah.
2008 was Fallout 3. So we did give it that one.
Yeah, that's good.
2009 was Uncharted 2.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The best Uncharted.
I think so. 2010 was Mass Effect 2. The best Mass Effect.
Yeah, that's quite a game.
2011 was Portal 2.
Nice. These are all my favorite games.
I know,
the best
right?
Portal.
2012 takes a sharp corner here. Journey.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. An indie game.
Indie game. 2013 was The Last of Us.
Yes.
Traditionally, that's been like the most popular game with our audience.
Yeah.
We'll see if that's changed. We'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't do... I'm sorry. We didn't test the audience's gauge of... We can still do it.
Okay.
2014... Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind
of... Romance.
Did we mess that one up?
If there's one that we kind of messed up on.
No, you know what?
I think it was a lazy year.
I think everyone was just really burned. They just wanted to get to holiday break, and they're like, yeah, that sounds,
you know what?
That sounds fun.
We're in a fight.
2015 was The Witcher 3.
Yeah, that holds up.
We're getting close. 2016 was Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And 2017 was Breath of the Wild.
Nice. Hey, everybody likes Breath of the Wild.
What's up?
Everybody likes Breath of the Wild.
It's good. Everybody likes Breath of the Wild. So I don't know. Fran, do you want to start mentioning some of the things that didn't win?
Like, yeah, exactly. How do we go through all this? I'll just start throwing out some of the years and the picks
so,
there, right?
Yeah, well, let's maybe go back to 2001. What didn't win?
Well,
and
fine,
what did you
then
vote
I'm
for?
At least going to mention that 2000, it was absolutely Majora's Mask was the winner.
Yeah,
I know we're not covering it, but...
Yeah. Pear, what... Do you know why, like, we only started giving Game of the Year awards in 2001? Just laziness.
Yeah.
It was because it was Fran's idea, and he
when I came in, I really changed things up.
There were no cops. They were doing whatever they wanted.
Yeah. But in 2000, there was The Sims, Banjo-Tooie, Red Alert 2, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. Anyway. Okay.
Wasn't Pro Skater 2 the one?
Also? Oh, it was so good.
Tony Hawk 2.
That's the one play.
That was in 2001?
No, that's 2000.
2000, okay.
Okay. 2001, Halo was the pick. This spanned over, well, with the page break, it went into two sheets. I couldn't believe 2001. So I'm not going to do this for every year, but I feel like for this year, I'm going to name a bunch of things.
Okay.
A couple of them are my picks. Fantasy Star Online, Conker's Bad Fur Day, Rayman 2, Super Smash Bros. Melee, Gran Turismo 3, A-Spec, Max Payne, Advance Wars, Devil May Cry, GTA 3, Silent Hill 2, Eco, Civ 3, Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, Final Fantasy 10, Paper Mario, and Pikmin even.
Pikmin.
Isn't it crazy how much came out that year?
What a year. And Super Monkey Ball.
Oh, trust me, tons of favorites.
That was the GameCube launch year.
Yep.
But yet, like, that's what was crazy to me going over this list. I don't know how you guys feel when you hear that. Do you feel like Halo is the right choice going back over that list?
I feel like Halo's, you know, still a franchise going strong today, and it's very beloved with people. You know, there's some games on that list that I prefer to Halo,
right.
But I think to the wider audience.
It's
maybe
also like its vision for like what FPS combat could be in a console.
At the time, it was like
so mind-blowing. It's a little bit more conventional now.
It's so much more advanced than GoldenEye and Perfect Dark was, right? Yeah.
But for me, a game that has transcended time, Super Smash Bros. Melee, and that was a game I reviewed as well.
Wait, what year was that?
One.
Super Smash Bros. Melee, and
what year?
2001.
Yeah. We're still in 2001.
I know. Well, that was just the first sample year. We have limited time, but that was crazy to think that is still a tournament game these days. And I reviewed that game. I love Halo, but man, that was the game that year. So good. How do you want to handle the next year's? Is just go through some of my quick picks and then
quick picks.
Overall game of the career.
Yeah, I think so.
Fair enough.
Hear what yours is.
I think 2002 is important.
2002, Pear and I always talk
about
this one.
This
was huge. Okay, so almost every other outlet out there gave Metroid Prime, also a game I reviewed, the game of the year, and rightly so. And I think we were split at the office, and actually I'm really glad I have a forum for this. Give me one second. I played more Battlefield than almost anybody in the office. I was there until 2, 3 a.m. on our LAN, shouting over the desk with the PC editors. We set up custom servers. I love that game. Janky, so janky, man. Kick from games, just stuff flying off the map when it should. But it is an amazing, like, experiment, open, you know, kind of sandbox feel, and it was incredible. But Metroid Prime, just unbelievable. Gave it a 9.8. In fact, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to quickly read what I wrote for my review summary.
Yes.
See, the wounds,
it's super short.
Wounds are still fresh.
It's super short. So, Metroid Prime on GameCube is amazing. That's what the score qualifier is at a 9.8. And I just simply said, Metroid Prime is unquestionably a must-have masterpiece that all forthcoming adventure titles will be judged by. Mm-hmm. And we also argued at the office all the time that people are like, it's first-person shooter. It's like, not quite.
Isn't it funny, and I've talked about this before, that Nintendo was cutting edge, and that was probably the best-looking game that year.
Oh, my God. It was,
and Half-Life 2 came out that
year. I thought that was the best-looking video game I had ever seen at that time.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
On a console, first of all, that's weird. So, Bear was saying earlier that PCs were kind of in a slump.
You can almost feel like the PC nerds and like the console gamers at war in the office that year deciding game of the year.
It was a big deal. We had a lot of PC love in the office. And again, I played a ton, so we fought. That one was close. It was a very close award on that one, and Battlefield won it.
Fran, would you like to read anything from your Mario Kart Double Dash review?
Oh, we're getting there. That's a great segue into the next year, 2003. What was the best game in 2003, a year when Mario Kart Double Dash came out, Beyond Good and Evil? We awarded it to KOTOR, right? Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, Wind Waker, and Call of Duty even. A couple of my picks that I put on the list. So you know me, Double Dash was the best game. Come on, give it up. All right, clearly those people don't know me.
We know you and you didn't say
that. I said that it was good, not great. I gave it a 7.9, the infamous first review
7.9.
That I know of where our boards asked for, they said Fran must resign. Sign here for Fran to resign. Yeah, they didn't know how that works, I guess. But
things have gotten a lot better in the years since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My actual pick was Prince of Persia Sands of Time over KOTOR.
Whoa.
Oh, you have it?
There you go.
How did he know?
Oh, it's re-reviewed by Jose, though. What's going on with that? Okay. Something's weird about
Splatoon.
That.
No, that's a Splatoon review.
Yeah, wait, this is a farce. All right. Yeah, Damon, I don't want to take us over time. You tell me.
Surely in 2004 there was nothing better than Half-Life 2.
Yeah, definitely for me. That was my pick, okay. But it was unbelievable that Halo 2, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Metroid Prime 2, Burnout 3, and actually I love Splinter Cell, love Ninja Burnout. Gaiden.
Yeah.
So good, right? My pick was, I mean, Half-Life, duh.
Yeah. If we had to do 2005 over again, I'd probably pick something other than the original God of War myself. You
know? I got a pick.
So you were voting that year?
Easy. No, I wasn't here yet. Okay. That was
easy pick for me.
Which was what, 2005?
This is brutal.
It's not brutal. You know what I'm going
to
pick?
No, yeah. I'm trying to think what was that big that year.
We just talked about it.
No, sorry.
I wonder if you did.
What?
Resident Evil 4.
Yes.
I don't know what you're thinking, but...
That's not what I was thinking.
What were you thinking of?
What are the other games that you're...
Call of Duty 2, Shadow of the Colossus, Battlefield 2, GTA
like
Liberty
Sam's
City.
Game.
What is? Shadow of the Colossus, of course.
Yeah. PS2 is tough, though, man.
Yeah. Man. Couldn't argue with that one.
But Resident Evil 4.
2005, Resident Evil 4. How could you not go with that? I mean, God of War, I mean, amazing.
I feel like Nintendo people got voted down a lot because it seems like for these big Nintendo games, there was like these Xbox games winning two of those years, KOTOR and Halo, like over big Nintendo games. That's crazy.
You know what's funny? Like a little inside intel. There really was like this split in the office of like, that was really the PC master race back then, let me tell you. And the elite attitude because they played Resident Evil 4 and they like literally would be spitting venom over it. They're like, that game, you can't even move. You're like a tank stuck in a spot. They gave it no chance at all. And those were the types of discussions you had as a console person against it. So anyway.
We are running short on time.
Yeah.
I think there's some notable games that were released over the past 18 years. Of course, GTA 5, Metal Gear Solid 5. That's definitely one of my favorite games of this generation. Uncharted 4. What do we?
Oh my God! Yeah.
What do we think about that one? No.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Still, just Uncharted 2 is the favorite.
Metal Gear Solid 5 lost to The Witcher 3, I believe. That was a tough year.
Yeah, that's true.
It was close, but everybody liked those games.
I think it was the same year as Fallout 4 as well.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So but I would have chosen either of those games over Fallout 4. Yeah.
There's Bloodborne. And all the souls.
That was a close one that year,
There's any of the Arkhams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Any of the Arkham games. There's the Bioshocks. There's the Mass Effects. And there's Skyrim.
Man.
How in 2010, though, we really never picked Red Dead Redemption, huh? I guess Tina went over that, but...
Tell us 2007. That was the year that Mario Galaxy won, but that was an incredible year for games.
Really was. Bioshock, Halo 3, Portal, and Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare...
Yeah,
first big one. My pick was actually, now that I'm looking again. I really loved Galaxy, and actually I loved Bioshock, man. It was just such a cool game.
Personal favorite game of your career.
I know. So out of like all those, you're stuck against like games have evolved like so much. And, you know, I guess the simple answer is that when I look at the best game sort of ever for me, over that span of time, I have to look at the stuff that really impacted me. That leaves me with this wow that I just can't shake. I still think back on like the feeling of loading into it, and it is still Metroid Prime.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Destiny.
Wow. Oh, no.
That's awesome.
Because the pace of Metroid Prime, when you land on your feet and have everything taken away from you, and the way it scales up, and it's so smart that you go see these bosses, earn new powers, that is used all the time, and it was used before, obviously, by previous Zelda Metroid games. But Metroid
I like
Prime.
To call it a Metroidvania. That's
yes, well, yeah, Metroid Prime just incredible, and I really hope the next one they don't fudge it up.
Yeah, Metroid Prime 4 still coming. It's good.
And hopefully, Metroid Prime will be playable on Switch at some point because everybody here should play it.
Yeah,
it's true. Fran, thank you so much for joining us up here.
Thank
you guys.
It's a pleasure. Fran Mirabella III. We're running short on time, so that means we're going to go a little bit over because I've got some really fun stuff planned that I don't want to cut. Our final guest, please welcome to the stage, Jared Petty.
They got me on this side because I don't like Justin.
Yeah.
Deep
feud.
So much hatred.
Jared, would you like a beer?
No, thank you. I can't have a beer.
Sam, do you have your equipment handy?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Sam has some very scientific equipment we're going to use to determine what you guys think is the game of the year so far.
Everyone, please turn your phones into airplane mode. We don't want it interfering with the sensitive equipment. All right.
This is serious.
So he has some equipment here that's going to read. We're going to ask you to applaud for some of these notable games
that we know are going to be in the running for Game of the Year. And Sam has some equipment he's going to use to measure your volume. Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, so you know what your options are, I'll recite the games first, and then we'll go back through them so you guys can pick what you want to applaud for.
So no applauding now.
No applauding now.
We're going to read off all
but the games.
Games
we're talking about are Monster Hunter World, God of War, and Spider-Man. I think those are the main ones. Hold on.
I can't hear anything you're saying.
I know you can't. Just measure the applause. That's all you have to do. So of those three games, what would be your pick for Game of the Year right now? Who wants to applaud for Monster Hunter World?
Yeah.
Okay. You got your reading there?
You get the reading?
Okay. All right.
The baby also likes it.
Who would pick God of War? Okay, there's some discrepancy between those two readings, I can tell.
This is why it's important to have the calibrated equipment.
The math checks out.
Okay. Yeah. And then finally, who would pick Spider-Man? It looks like it's going to be close.
Yeah, is that it?
That's it.
Oh, well, then God of War won.
God of War? Did God of War make it to Disturbing?
Yeah, we went from loudly to Disturbing. That's the actual scale I'm seeing here.
They've gone to plaid.
All right. Let's try and get Disturbing to be a box quote on the Game of the Year edition of God of War. It's Disturbing, like, GameScoop fans.
Top 10 dumbest things. Yeah.
And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions.
Yeah.
I knew we're going to have many special guests in the audience today, so I would like Matt Jones, Overlord of the Superfans. I reached out to him ahead and had him pick the 20 Questions game.
Wow.
He is visiting us from Indiana today.
That's a hint.
So,
whereabouts in Indiana?
Ooh.
Right. Oh, man.
Castleton for life.
And I just realized I forgot to create an envelope for Matt to deliver to me. So anyway, I do know what game he picked. We don't get to have the ceremony of him delivering an envelope to me. I forgot to put that together. It would have been fun. But anyway, Matt Jones picked the game. I approved it. So let the questioning begin.
Okay. For the final time, it's being retired.
Is it really?
Tonight.
Really?
I've threatened before, but I feel like... does your character wear a hat?
It's possible to wear a hat.
Mm-hmm.
Possible to wear a hat.
Hat's confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was this game released during the tenure of Fran Mirabella's career to date?
Yes.
Okay.
What, so it's 2000 to now?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Is this a current generation game?
No.
Okay. I can't think of any questions at all. Okay, so did it come out on the PS3 generation of consoles, PS3 360?
Yes.
All right.
Was it well received?
Yes.
Here we go. Let's see, what do you think? Do you want to go genre? Or do you
ask
go?
If we've mentioned it on the
genre's
show already.
Oh, we've mentioned it. Yeah, that's a good idea. Did we mention this game on the show?
It's been a long show.
Today?
Yeah.
No.
Ever. Did we mention it ever, Damon?
It has not been mentioned today.
All right. So
a well-received last-gen game where you can wear a hat optionally.
Was this game made in Japan?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
So probably
does this
not
game
portable.
Have multiplayer?
Yes.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
It might have multiplayer. That's a good one.
Do you shoot people with a gun-type device in this game?
Just ask if it has guns. No, you can stick with that.
Yeah, does it have guns?
Do you shoot people with a gun-type device? No.
No.
See, now you're wondering if you shoot people with a non-gun-type
device. Well, if it's a bow, then yeah. That's why I don't say shoot people, because then we get thrown off by gun. It's like, oh, it's a bow.
Okay, wait. So I need to recap. So it was last gen, not made in Japan, not mentioned on the show, well-received game with no shooting. Probably not shooting.
Yeah.
Rated.
Well, but so wait. So the fact that it's a hat. Do you play as one character in this game?
Yes.
Do you play as a single character?
Yes. That's 10.
Can you play as a woman?
What? Yes. You only play as one character. Mm-hmm. So
can you?
That would be... What?
I'm asking, what, like, if it's Metroid.
What's your confusion?
Well, because, I don't know, just the way it's phrased, it's like, I'm you either play as a woman or a man. Like, you,
but the question was, can you play as a woman? Yes.
Oh, but maybe you pick your character. Maybe that's...
What's a game where you pick your character? Oh, there's a lot from that generation. Oh, man, I'm going to suck at this so bad.
I think you can play as a woman.
Terrible at this game.
It
always have been.
It was mentioned in passing.
It's like a console exclusive.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. Is this a PlayStation exclusive?
No.
Okay.
Unlikely. Is it a console?
I should have asked if it was multi-platform.
Do we even want to burn that? Do we not want to do that?
I don't know.
I should have asked if it was multi-platform. That was dumb.
Does this game do you level up in this game?
Yes.
Okay, you level up. This is pretty much half the games in that generation at this point.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Does
no
this
guns.
Game have sequels?
Yes.
Okay.
No closer.
Well regarded. Critically acclaimed. Yeah. What do we got here?
Do you
narrow it down?
Do you think is it helpful to know if you use swords? You slashing things?
I mean, we're not shooting, so we're probably slashing if there's violence.
It could be punching and kicking.
Could be punching and kicking, and we level up. All right.
Does this have realistic graphics?
No.
Oh, I hate that question.
It's 15.
You hate that question?
I do, because we never know what it means.
Do you want to know? We talked about it at length last week.
I know, but you never reached a resolution.
To Damon, it means that it's cel-shaded or Fortnite-y.
Exactly.
But I'm with Jared, because then it's like realistic graphics 10 years ago like are not today.
We wouldn't call this realistic, right? All right, so you're at 15 questions, five.
Wow.
Do you want to give the audience a chance to sort of shout out some ideas to you?
The answer being no, by the way. That's a really good,
It's a cartoony game.
I like that it's a well-regarded game that we didn't bring up for the Game of the Year talks that we had here. I mean, that's got to be, that's actually pretty significant.
I'm going to be honest, we've kind of screwed this up.
Yes.
Because it could be an adventure game, it could be anything.
Yeah, we have no idea what kind of game this is.
So in the audience, are there any ideas what this might be?
Could be Portal.
Well, you're not asking the questions.
But that's a good question, though. We can.
But yeah, you can throw out ideas for questions.
But there's no guns.
They're thinking Borderlands.
Could be Portal.
Could be Portal, but Portal has
a
gun-like device.
Graphics.
Remember the gun-like device? See, that comes in Portal. That would be a gun-like.
We mentioned it already. That's a good point.
No, we didn't mention
it
already.
We did not mention
it.
It's not Portal.
Portal on the show today.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, and it can't be Portal. We mentioned it was a gun-like device.
So I wish we knew... The fact that you can play as a woman is notable, right? But I wish I knew if that's who your character was, or if you could choose your character.
Is this a first-person shooter?
No.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh, with guns?
Well, we know.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking it could be Red Steel or something like that.
Well, that had guns.
Yeah.
That also had guns.
Yeah, that had guns.
It's half guns. Yeah.
Do you fight monsters in this game?
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay.
Drakwe? Oh, no, it's not Japanese.
You level up?
It's
you
not
level
Japanese.
Up, so it's not Japanese,
Japanese,
but they're
fighting monsters.
Fight monsters. Okay, it's not.
I'm telling
it's
you.
It's not Fallout.
We're this is Skyrim, except for the fact that it's come up on the show.
Huh. Yeah. Did we bring up Skyrim?
Yeah.
Did we bring up Oblivion?
Oblivion.
Oh, no. No? Horse armor. No, we didn't bring up Oblivion.
We did talk about horse armor. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't bring up Oblivion.
But we didn't bring
What's
up Oblivion.
A smart way...
Uh-oh.
How many? We have three questions left.
And also,
it's
realistic.
Left.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think we're
going
to get this.
We can do this. We can do it. You guys came back 2 weeks ago and hit it on 20.
Should we ask about an open world or if it's a fantasy game?
I like open world.
Does this have an open world? Don't ask us to define open world.
No. This is not an open world game.
Could this be what about the weird Spanish Castlevania?
What?
I would have. Yes.
Jared.
That's right.
No, the one, just the Castlevania game.
It was picked by a man from Indiana.
Huh? Yeah.
I already told you, it's not going to be a Chunsoft game.
No, I'm talking about the mainline Castlevania game, the big one that came out.
Oh, Lords of Darkness?
That was made, the one that was made in Spain.
Lords of Darkness, is that what it's called?
Yeah, the one with Dracula gets kicked out the window at the end or something.
A question and a guess is what you got left.
All right.
All right, there we go. What do we got? Do you want to ask the audience again?
I got one. Should we ask if it's a physical-based game instead of a download? Because I'm thinking the Summer of Arcade thing.
Yeah, we really botched this.
Yeah, we totally nailed it.
Did this have a retail release?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Came on a disc. So last gen, made in Japan, you can play as a woman.
You fight monsters.
You level up.
Survival horror, but with no guns. What would that be? Zombie, you had guns.
What do we got out there?
Fatal
Anything.
Frame?
Fatal Frame would be amazing.
Mirror's Edge.
Parasite Eve, somebody said.
I don't think it would be questionable whether you played as a woman in that game.
Oh, it could be the
third birthday. See, like when you see him in person. You can use guns in third person.
It's not open world.
Yeah, guns.
This is a game with a character creator. That's why the playable character.
Well, you can put hats on,
but you don't have to have them on.
Oh, man, this is still like a half of all video games made in that period. It does have multiplayer.
But it's not like a big part of it, which is a good hint, right?
Yeah, but still awesome that... So that be, man.
And has sequels.
Monsters.
You're all welcome, monsters, by the way, at any time to help us out.
I guess Shall I reveal the game?
No, we definitely got to... I'm going to take... How many Fable? Do we have left? Two?
No, you're out of questions. You have to guess.
Could it be the
We're Fables? Out of... I thought we had one more.
Yeah, but that's...
Fable... Someone shouted out Fable 3.
Fable 3 would be awesome.
Has
Fable
guns?
3 has guns.
It doesn't have multiplayer either.
What about Ni No Kuni? That's kind of open, though. That's
no multiplayer. Manageable.
Yeah, no multiplayer.
Yeah.
Ah, that's a good thought. Where are we missing on Nintendo? Anything
like Zach
there?
And Wiki.
Muramasa?
It's not Japanese.
Not Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so are we going to get this one, Darren? We just have to end it. I think it's not entertaining anymore.
Because I'm feeling generous, I'll tell you that you haven't even gotten anywhere close.
All right. Oh, okay. Well, that is generous of you. You want to reveal the game?
Not even in the ballpark. That's good to know.
Wow,
but
we really flubbed
this.
This
is a game that was important to me and to GameScoop for a certain period of time.
Okay. Is it,
over
is
the
it
life.
Peggle?
It's not Peggle.
Okay.
Is it Boom Blocks?
Mark Medina, what game is it?
All right, what do we got?
We would have never gotten
that. For our friends listening at home, it is Puzzle Quest.
I love Puzzle Quest.
Yeah, Puzzle Quest was great.
I'm so mad because the moment you said it's not Japanese, I dropped the DS from my mind. I was like, well, okay, it's not going to be a DS game
then. Who developed
then.
Puzzle Quest?
I think it was an Australian developer.
That's cool.
No kidding.
By D3.
Do you have a lot more agenda?
What do you mean?
We have more stuff planned?
That's it, man.
But first, we have a special surprise.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
I hear it coming.
Here comes the special surprise.
This is a surprise to Damon.
Oh, man. Awesome.
Here, I should get out of the way, maybe. Good?
That's so cool.
So, Damon, we thought, because you've been hosting this show for 500 episodes, it's finally time that you get something for it.
That's amazing. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
really nice. This is really nice, you guys.
Thank go check it out. For those of you who can't hear Damon, he's about to read his 500 goose cake.
Oh, it's lovely. It was pretty awesome watching him get this cake ready. Okay. There was an emergency chocolate repair that took place right before.
So congratulations, Damon, on Goose 500.
Yeah.
And Mary 500, you can open that now too. It's just a nice bottle of something brown for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Damon. You're a host that we all listened to before we were on the show.
Yeah.
We loved it, and it's been an awesome run. Thank you.
Just hosting this show. The pleasure has been mine over the past 12 years. I think we've had a lot of fun today. So you know what? Let's meet up again in 12 years.
All right.
For episode 1,000. Mm-hmm. Same place, same time?
Same time. Everybody? Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. But seriously, though, thank you all to everyone that I work with and helps me put the show together and puts up with me trying to wrangle everything. And then, of course, thank you all to you for joining us here tonight. Obviously, there wouldn't be a show without you guys listening to it and watching it, too. So, for real, thank you so much. That's about it. So that's all the scoops that we have for you this week. Definitely stick around. I'm happy to stick around and talk and chat with anyone.
You're going to have to cut that cake for people.
Yeah, I'm going to cut the cake.
Serve everyone.
Yeah. What's this? Oh, store.ign.com is the URL that's being shown up behind us. And I think that's where other people that are watching this video and listening to this can get that shirt, the Omega Cop shirt.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. So, I didn't know that was going to be available.
Yeah,
that's
I posted
really cool.
photos of it today, and everyone was like, where can I get that? So,
good.
That's pretty cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
Damon, really, I owe you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jared.
It's been, GameScoop is the one of my favorite things I do here every single week. And I remember being so nervous. And when I was first on the show, it wasn't a video show yet. It was just a podcast.
We got in a room and talked for a while.
Yeah, it was great. And I really
the numbers are edible.
Very much.
I love it. I love how it's Halloween themed, too.
It's that time of year. It's that GameScoopy time of year.
It's going to be time for Game Spook next week.
I like that.
Please be excited. All right, everybody, thank you so much. That's all the scoops we have for this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, everybody else. Thank you to all of you for here tonight. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
There, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.